Hi, everyone. It's me, Katie Couric. You know, if you've been following me on social media, you know I love to cook, or at least try, especially alongside some of my favorite chefs and foodies, like Benny Blanco, Jake Cohen, Lighty Hoik, Allison Roman, and Ina Garten. So I started a free newsletter called Good Taste to share recipes, tips, and kitchen must-haves. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/goodtaste. That's KATIECOURIC.com/goodtaste. I promise your taste buds will be happy you did.
Hey everyone, Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wake and Jake. I've been a sports nut my whole life, and there's nothing I love more than talking about it. If you're a sports fan, Wake and Jake is the place for you. Covering all the hot topics from the sports world, a lot of baseball, a lot of postseason coverage, mock drafts, awards, guest interviews, all of it. New episodes every Monday and Wednesday. Come watch along on the Wake and Jake YouTube channel or listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. This is Jimmy O'Brien from John Boy Media. I want to quickly tell you about my podcast. It's called Jimmy's Three Things. Episodes come out every Tuesday, and for 30 minutes, I dive into three stories in Major League Baseball that I want to talk about, or I do a stat deep dive. Sometimes I create my own stats. It gets weird. It's now your go-to podcast for staying up to date and in the weeds with Major League Baseball. No topic is off limits or too small. Bad umpires, great pitcher-catcher duos, new rules, old rules, three things that I want to talk about. Listen to Jimmy's Three Things on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Joe Gatto.
I'm Steve Byrne.
We are Two Cool Moms.
We certainly are.
And guess where we could find us now?
Oh, I don't know. The iHeart Podcast Network?
That's right. We're an official iHeart podcast, and I'm super excited about it.
I am too. I thought Two Cool Moms was such a fun podcast, but now it's even more funner and cooler and heartier.
That's right. It's more iHeartier.
I knew it. Check your heart rate. We're here at iHeart.
Yeah, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcast or on the iHeart Radio app.
Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE, or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out.
Joining me now on this Memorial Day to be a little bit more serious than we normally are, former Green Beret Terry Shepard, legend in the Green Beret community, even though he denies it. Terry, anybody you want to talk about on this day?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me on, brother. You know, we all know this is that kind of day. I also say, listen, for me, it's generally kind of a mellow day, but it's not like I want people to lay around and be morose. You know, all these guys and gals died, so you can do whatever the hell you want. I wanted to talk about a guy I lost. I was his team sergeant. We never actually got to deploy. He'd been a Marine infantry guy, one of your boys, did combat in Iraq. Wanted to be a special forces guy, got out, went to the Q course of the National Guard in our unit in Rhode Island, but then quickly transferred to the West Coast because he thought they would deploy. He was out there for a couple years. That didn't happen. Then he came back to our unit, and he was assigned to my team. Huge dude, Tim McGill. He was like 6'6", covered with tattoos. I used to joke, when he walked into my team room, I go, are you a member of the Aryan Nation? He just kind of smiled. But he was a big, huge, gentle giant, but also with a really funny sense of humor. And he had only been on my team for literally, I don't even know, like a month. We hadn't even done anything yet. And he said, hey, Terry, I want to roll out. He was going out. He wanted to go to first group to Afghanistan because he had not done any combat in special forces. He had with the Marines, but not us. So I said, of course, brother, we'll support you. So we ended up getting him out the door, and he went with the first group, and he was killed in Afghanistan a week before he was going to come home. Killed by, you know, the guys they were training. Not unusual. I just wanted to talk about, and it really hurt us. But I was his team sergeant, and we decided, you know, as you know, Green Berets are notoriously awful at drill and ceremony, but we decided, I said, we can do this. So we were there when the body came in to Dover. We actually had a police escort. They shut down. He's from Ramsey, New Jersey, which is a very patriotic town. He was also a volunteer firefighter too. So when we took his body from Dover to, he actually flew from Dover to, I wasn't in Dover. I'm sorry. I was there when we got him into Teterboro Airport. And there was, dude, you should have seen this, Jesse. The state troopers, local police shut down every damn exit. And as we were driving by, people are saluting, and no one even knows who this kid is, but all the cops, all the patrol people, we get him to his hometown. We got, we actually got his body into the funeral home. And then there was a whole week of kind of like getting everything ready. I mean, and we needed help to make sure the ceremony was right. We called on local, like National Guard guys who were good at this kind of stuff. We drilled. We made sure this was perfect. The town welcomed us. I couldn't pay for a damn thing. They wouldn't even, you know. And on that final day when we took him, we put him on the caisson for the fire department. And we walked down the main street of Ramsey, New Jersey with his body over the flag. And I was in the front of it, and we're walking along, dude. And I'll never forget this because it was one of the saddest times of my life, but it was also absolutely one of the best because the whole town was closed down. Every school was closed. Every business was like, there was flags draped over with cranes on the street. And we're walking along down the street and we had the bagpipers. And for his funeral, they end up coming. They learn the bout of the Green Berets and the Marine Corps hymn, which is not easy to do. But we're walking down the street with his with his body. And, you know, you try not to, you know, you try to, and people are in the street, like, waving flags, openly weeping, saluting. And as we were about to turn the corner to get his body to the funeral home, which was, again, in a couple of days we were going to bury him, I make eye contact with this little boy who was, like, looking at me, right at me. And as he saw me look at him, he saw that I made eye contact with him, and he snapped to, like, attention, and he did this little boy salute.
Oh.
Dude, and it was really hard not to break. I just smiled at him and nodded, and we just continued down the way, and we got his body to the funeral home, and the rest of it happened there. And I thought, dude, that's why we do this. It's for that little kid, right? You know, it's not for these idiots on. There's a lot of people, honestly, I don't mean to sound like a jerk. There's a lot of people in the U.S. I don't particularly care about. I don't do it for them. But when that little boy saw me and snapped to attention and stood up straight and did the salute, it was amazing. And then, after that, too, we did the ceremony. I remember, man, before we went to the funeral, to the church, he was Catholic. I'm Catholic. You know, there's all the guys in my team that were part of the funeral detail. You know, some guys are religious, some guys are not, but I got them all in a circle behind the funeral home, and we all put our hands in the middle. We said a quick prayer. I said, let's do it for Tim, do it for his family, right? And so we went and we did this very, you know, the ceremony with the flag and everything, presenting arms and then, you know, giving the flag to his mom. And I had a colonel who actually showed up there, and he came up to our guys and he goes, I never saw anything. He goes, I've never seen it done better at Arlington. And I'm not saying that to brag. I get no credit. It's the guys get credit for it. But the reason was we wanted it to be perfect. And these dumb Green Berets who absolutely suck at drill and ceremony, we pulled it off because it was important to us. And that town, you know, there's towns like that all over the United States. There's some towns that don't give a crap, probably, as a town. But Ramsey, New Jersey, man, that was something else. And so he was a great dude, kind of a big, quiet guy, very scary looking. But I always regretted that I never got to deploy downrange with him. And he wanted to go. And we said, of course, we'll get you a strap hanging with first group. So I just wanted to talk about, you know, Tim McGill, staff sergeant, you know, Special Forces, 18 Bravo. He was a weapons guy, and he was one of your boys. He was an infantry Marine.
Guys like Tim McGill, are they born? Are they made? What are they? Where do they come from?
That's a good question. I think it's a little bit of both. I think a lot of times with the crucibles that you and I have been through, I think sometimes even It's not even that they make you. It's almost like they reveal you. It's there. You know, I think there is steel in most people. It just has to be taken out and sharpened. And so the potential is in most people. I think there are some people I'm like, yeah, no, probably never. But that doesn't mean they don't have other things to offer. But I think you're born with some of that. But I think in order for it to get to where it needs to be forged like a sword, pounded on, beaten on, abused, put through everything. And so the final product is a combination of the quality of the steel that you put in and the tempering process that you use for the finished product. I don't know if that makes sense. That probably sounds dumb, but that's kind of what I think it is.
It makes total sense. It makes total sense. There's got to be something there for the iron worker to work with, but
right,
he can get it out of there if you get the right iron worker, for sure.
Exactly right. Yeah, that crucible, I've always said, you know, I remember I was at a friend's wedding a few years before I retired, and I'm my old crusty, we had all our uniforms on, and someone asked me, he's like, dude, why are you still doing this? And my one word surprised him. I said, it's love. We love our country, we love our family, but more importantly, we love the guy to the left and right. And I, you know, it peer pressure is good. I never wanted to be that guy who came up short when we needed it. You know, so as a special forces medic, dude, I lost all kinds of sleep thinking about, all right, man, if I had to do a trach, if I had to do a cricothyroidotomy on this cat, well, okay, blah, 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 talk myself through. You know what I mean? So peer pressure to not be the last guy on the rucksack march, to not be the slowest runner, to not be the guy who always that gets you through that, because an elite unit, and it doesn't have to be special forces, man, any combat unit, you get good when you suffer together. That's why a good family, a family is a family, because they get through stuff. You know, if everything's easy, then you've never really been tested. And so I think that's what makes an elite unit, and also basics done to perfection, right? Over and over and over. There's nothing sexy or voodoo about any of the good things we do. It's just hard work, and you got to keep finding the right guys to do it.
Terry Shepard, nobody does it better. Watch his show, Hollywood Weapons, on the Outdoor Channel. Appreciate you very much, my friend.
All the best, brother. Thanks for having me on. I will talk to you soon.
Be good. Whew. I got to tell you, man, that Terry walking me through that town shutting down about killed me there. That kid snapping a salute, that's out of the daggone movies. Whew. Well done, Terry Shepard. Memorial Day. Hang on. We got one more.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good-looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? My drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Katie Couric. You know, if you've been following me on social media, you know I love to cook, or at least try, especially alongside some of my favorite chefs and foodies, like Benny Blanco, Jake Cohen, Lighty Hoik, Allison Roman, and Ina Garten. So I started a free newsletter called Good Taste to share recipes, tips, and kitchen must-haves. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/goodtaste. That's KATIECOURIC.com/goodtaste. I promise your taste buds will be happy you did.
Hey everyone, Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wake and Jake. I've been a sports nut my whole life, and there's nothing I love more than talking about it. If you're a sports fan, Wake and Jake is the place for you. Covering all the hot topics from the sports world, a lot of baseball, a lot of postseason coverage, mock drafts, awards, guest interviews, all of it. New episodes every Monday and Wednesday. come watch along on the Wake and Jake YouTube channel or listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain.
Benjamin Franklin is our subject for a new season with Walter Isaacson.
He's the most successful self-made business person in America.
A printer, a scientist, founding father, but maybe not the guy we think we know.
Franklin casts his lot on the side of revolution, and it's another thing that splits the family apart.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Joe Gatto.
I'm Steve Byrne.
We are Two Cool Moms.
We certainly are.
And guess where we could find us now?
Oh, I don't know. The iHeart Podcast Network?
That's right. We're an official iHeart podcast, and I'm super excited about it.
I am too. I thought Two Cool Moms was such a fun podcast, but now it's even more funner and cooler and heartier.
That's right. It's more iHeartier.
I knew it. Check your heart rate. We're here at iHeart.
Yeah, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcasts or on the iHeart Radio app.